Welcome to Dial In for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're stuffing the ballot boxes for Prom King and Queen and recapping the latest episode, Prom Night. I'm your host, the returned Mara Eakin. Konnichiwa, Cameron. And that's Cameron Sheets, who is always here and who is great.
I am always here. I'm proud of that. What a record.
Well, that's not always true, I guess. Has there been a time you've missed?
I don't know.
At some point.
But you were in Japan last week.
Hi.
And left me all alone, but I was able to tap LaToya and she came through as she does. Do you know, were you aware that she like had not watched since she stopped doing TV Club reviews and like jumped back in for us?
That's really nice.
I know. What a hero.
I really appreciate it.
But I missed you, so.
Oh, thank you. God. Well, happily, I came right back in for like some crazy shit.
I know. An app for the ages.
An app for the ages. Some like horror shit.
I know. With the hook on the lockers.
Super gross.
I loved it. Let's get into it with our ice puncher. I didn't really have a Riverdale related question, but I was just like, I don't know. Do you have any fun prom stories to share? Or like, what was your prom theme? Or,
you know what? We didn't have a theme. Our theme was, it's at the Key Bank building in downtown Cleveland.
Oh, the theme is like, here it is.
Here it is. It's a prom. Did you have a theme?
I can't remember because we would do like juniors and seniors could go. I can't remember if this was mine or the one I helped put together, but the theme was Float On. Like, I guess inspired by the name of the Modest Mouse song, but it was like cloud themed.
Well, that's cute.
And so we had like fog on the steps. I don't think it looked as great as we like wanted it to, but
yeah, of course.
Kind of a cute theme.
We only had senior prom. We didn't have junior prom, but I was part of a club, Key Club, just like Kiwanis related, that did like the Sadie Hawkins dance every year. It was called Snowball. Wasn't really Sadie Hawkins. And I always loved doing the theme and then like doing the ordering of all this, the shit from like the magazine, the catalog that you got of like prom themes.
Okay.
It'd be like New York, Under the Sea, like it was broken down into sections, you know?
I saw those catalogs too.
I'm trying to remember the name of it. I love that catalog.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking about that as well as watching this episode because they do like miraculously go all out on this Renaissance theme.
All of a sudden, this tiny town was able to deliver everyone just like Renaissance dresses.
Yeah.
Like in 2 days before prom.
And right. In theory, it's a different theme than what was intended, even though Fire and Ice could have looked like that too.
Also, when they're like, no one knows what Fire and Ice is, it's like, yes, they do.
I think they do.
Blue dresses and red dresses. Like,
yeah, I kind of like
that's what it is.
I kind of like a theme like that because it's like pretty open to interpretation.
Yeah. And Renaissance Fair is, I get it, but we did Renaissance Fair stuff in sixth grade where we had to like learn a craft and be an apprentice and all this shit. And then you had to like wear a costume. And I totally rented my costume from this big like rental house in Cleveland. But like they don't have 1,000 Renaissance dresses.
Tough.
You know what I mean?
It's tough to pull together.
So yeah. Maybe we'll see what next year's Riverdale prom theme is.
I know. All I'm remembering now is from my prom, I rented a tux that looked like what Sean Connery wears in the first James Bond movie, Dr. No.
Oh.
And I was really proud of it. But I also had like giant hair, curly hair at the time, which kind of threw off the Bond look. Anyway, really good look.
I had a very nice dress that I remember some of the teachers said that it was the coolest, the nicest dress there.
Whoa.
They were like, you're the best dressed one here.
And that is like something you keep with you. You're like,
I did it. I felt like, yeah, my peers are all, this was like 1999. So it was like ball gown. Like it was very princessy. Like everyone, now kids wear like little shorty skirts and stuff to prom.
Oh yeah. It's too
much. And like now it was like ball gowns, etc. And I had a huge dress that had like a bustle and was like backless. And it, you know, all the other ones were like the same dress. So the end.
You win.
I win. I think it's still at my parents' house.
Oh,
or
cool.
I know it's still at my parents' house.
Yeah.
And I know I cannot fit in it.
One day it'll be like some cool vintage dress that Zella can wear.
That's true.
I don't know. Think about it.
I don't know.
Let's.
Or maybe she'll get adopted by like a crazy cult leader.
Hey, is that a transition?
It is. It's a segue.
That's a segue. Let's talk about the episode, which is called Prom Night. But I love everything that happens with prom. Prom is only the final like fourth of the episode.
It's kind of a big part, though. It's like.
It is.
Because I was like, we gotta be nearing the end of the ep.
Yeah.
And I looked and there's still 20 minutes left.
That's true. It is a big chunk and like kind of obviously everything kind of comes to that point. But before we get to any of that, we have a lot to deal with, including a charred bus, prison bus.
Hal is maybe dead, maybe not dead.
Who knows?
No one thinks he's dead. Like Curdle Jr. says, oh, it was him. Like we found a hand.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's dead. I mean, he's not dead. And totally. That's why the black, oh, I totally get now why the black hood had a hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, cause he made sure to mention that there's like Hal's hand was found.
Yeah.
So like, was that part of a plan? Did he lose his hand in this? Like, I love that if it was part of the plan the whole time, Hal's like, you know what? I could lose a hand. It's fine.
Yeah.
It
could have just like done blood, but instead they're like, my whole hand.
Which is very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Betty from the beginning is like, okay, like I know my dad is psycho.
I have a theory about this now. I think Betty's hallucinating and like Betty is the Black Hood.
Oh my God.
Because you know at the end?
My God.
How, like, no one saw the Black Hood with her.
You're so right. Because Jug shows up. Okay, she's like part of the farm now and she's at the farm. They got what they wanted.
Yeah.
They scared her into submission.
Or they made her hallucinate.
Yeah.
Like totally. The same way they make like Cheryl see Jason and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh my God. That's a great theory. I love that so much. We'll come back to that later on because I think it's definitely important. I mean, that's my favorite thing we've ever said on this podcast. So beyond that happening, there's the whole thing with the Gargoyle King gospel.
That creepy bus.
Yes.
They're like really bussing it up this week. I wonder if it's the same bus.
It probably was.
Like they shot it in reverse. Like they're like, well, we got to use this for the set and then we got to take it and burn it.
Right. And they could just burn it because they painted all over it with gargoyle
markings.
Yeah, and
they bought like garbage bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The jelly bean of it all is really weird just because Jughead's like, finds out that she met the Gargoyle King and that she heard about the gospel. And then she gets mentioned once later on where Jug's like, have you seen Jelly Bean? And FP's like, yeah, I just dropped her off at school. And then it doesn't really matter.
She doesn't matter.
To the point that I was like really suspicious, but it's like, yeah, she's just not going to have anything to do. Mm-hmm. But Jug and FP, right, go on the search, find the bus. Jug finds the gospel, doesn't tell his dad. And then the gospel kind of inspires this bughead team up, which obviously we want, where they're like pouring through that and trying to deduce what could be going on. Mm-hmm. And
I had thought the Griffin Queen was made up. Like, I thought Betty made that up, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the lore has never really made sense. Yeah. It's just, like, another character who is, in theory, the good guy, but when you're playing the game, you're playing to appease the Gargoyle King. I guess you're just afraid of who the Gargoyle King is. Mm-hmm. But I did, like, we got a little bit of the lore of, like, these stories where it's, like, the gargoyles were in the sky, and she turned them into stone, and... So they're kind of just, I mean, Betty pretty much jumps to the conclusion, which other people have been theorizing that Edgar is probably the Gargoyle King. And part of that comes from her hearing that someone else got the gargoyle marking tattoos.
Who's blonde and magnetic. Cough, cough, chick.
Yeah, I know.
It's chick 100%.
That's totally what I thought.
Because she was like, this time last year, right around when the farm came to town. I'm like, it's chick.
Yeah, that's when chick disappeared.
But then you wouldn't have gotten to see like Chad Michael Murray's weirdly like liquidless ripped body.
Yeah, he's like very svelte.
Yeah, it's like that weird, it's like, he's not, I wouldn't say he's older because he's not really old.
Right.
But it's like that weird thing when like older guys get really ripped and that's like that weird thin, like wiry rippedness.
He's like sinewy,
yeah,
but muscly. Yeah, yeah. It was a wild experience. Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny that Betty barges in and is like, yeah, do it. Take off your shirt. Show it to me. And he's like, okay, sure.
It's like, there are no secrets here. And also, Cheryl, we'll just hop it's around fine. Here. But, you know, Cheryl's like, Evelyn's still going to school. And Cheryl's like, what? You're like 28. And it's just like, they're just all acknowledging, like, why is Evelyn still even going to school?
I know. That's what I wondered, too. People know. It's like, why pretend? Like, why are we keeping up this? Because Weatherby knows.
Yeah.
It's like, she doesn't need to be going there.
No.
They've already recruited most people. I did want to play the bit of Jug and Betty going over kind of like the story of the Gargoyle King and Griffin Queen real quick. So let's hear that soundbite.
Gargoyles were thought to be evil spirits that lived in the clouds preying on people. So that... Griffin Queen turned them to stone. They fell from the kingdom and shattered when they hit the earth.
Chuck, all this lore builds up the Gargoyle King to be some kind of supernatural creature, but this guy's just a serial killer, just like my dad. The Black Hood was flesh and blood, and so is the Gargoyle King. Which means that he can die.
But, you know, this kind of ends with the whole thing where it's like Betty being like, he can die. He's flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. And Jug is like, if you need some more time to just chill, that's totally fine.
I mean, was there ever a theory that the Gargoyle King wasn't a person. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, no, it's not like a phantasm.
Totally.
It's a person.
I mean, I would love if it was truly this ghoul. Yeah, but
then we're in Sabrina territory.
Yeah, we're not. We know the show's not going there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like there is a little bit of it where it's like Jug is reading the gospel and kind of buys into it in a way and that he got really into the game. So I think she's just trying to like tell him that this is not the case.
The B plot.
Yeah, the B plot is.
Is that Archie has given up music, he's given up football, and he is full in on boxing.
It's like, I'm not giving up boxing. Not this season. Maybe next season I will. But
yeah.
And it works out that Mary Andrews is in town.
We know that last week was the last episode that Luke Perry filmed, and so it kind of feels like they called Molly Ringwald and they're like, we need you this week.
Mm-hmm.
She stepped in, and like those were all supposed to be Luke Perry's lines.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
It doesn't seem like they rewrote much for her.
What they did rewrite is the reveal that Mary went to Sarah Florence College, which is great because there's no way that Fred went there. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. That has to have been what they've done. And it looks like she's around for at least another episode or two.
Yeah, probably maybe the Naval Academy thing. But she's trying to get Archie into the Navy is like a little sketchy to me.
Yeah.
And also like it felt like an ad for the Navy.
Definitely.
Like where they're like, we gave you a top-notch education and based on physical fitness. Like it felt like I'm like, this is going on long.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this feels like it's going on too long to be not sponsored content.
You could be right. And obviously the show loves to go there with Bumble and Love, Simon and that sort of thing. So wouldn't be, I mean, definitely that. But what I do like, the show is like pretty open about college not being for everybody, which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
I think it's like, if that's the aspiration and you're just only ever seeing people be like, college, 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 I have to go to college. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you feel like you have to, and then you feel like shit if you don't. But
I can't see Archie going to college.
No, I can't either.
It's not true to his character.
Right. Naval Academy is interesting. And yeah, Mary wants it as a solution because it's like, she thinks boxing's dangerous, but it's also not setting up him up for any sort of a future, she thinks.
We had talked about boxing scholarships several episodes back. I don't know if you remember.
That's true.
So it's interesting to know that everyone in the Navy has to do boxing and they recruit people who are good at boxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
but even though all their best boxing years will then be behind them.
It's pretty interesting. I don't really know how any of that works at all, but I mean, I don't know. If we got like Archie and Annapolis storylines in a couple seasons, I'd be like, why not?
It's just funny to me they didn't, how do I put this? I feel like they should have made up some Navy if it wasn't sponsored content.
Yeah, for
sure. Like it would be like, you should join the Merchant Marines or like whatever craziness.
Mm. Yeah, this was a little more to a certain point. Something else that happens is that Veronica decides she like, I guess she, I don't remember it becoming a spoken thing that she is managing Archie, but now she wants to like formally own, at least in part, the El Royale gym.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Le Bon Oui is doing well, even though it wasn't three episodes back, and she has enough money to do this sort of thing.
It's because she's selling drinks and like doing casino shit.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, right. She has been doing that. Mm-hmm. We just don't always see it. And the Josie thing. Oh, no, that money went to the Ronson family. Anyway. Which Josie is not mentioned at all this episode.
Because she's on tour.
I know. But it just feels like...
On to the next, Arch.
Yeah, on to the next one, which we know he does. So anyway, that's all bringing Veronica and Archie closer together. But where things end up is that she gets him into this, like, regional match. He has to forge... He has to get his parents' signature. He forges it because Mary doesn't want him to. But then also, like, talks himself into doing an exhibition match for the Naval Academy on the same weekend.
Same day.
But then it
both
becomes
on Friday.
Same day. Right. And he's overweight for his... Overweight is not the right... I don't know. He's above
his
weight class.
No, he's over space weight. Yeah.
For the class 6 pounds. Wants to box in. So then he's like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to both do these on the same day?
It's madcap caper.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it and then he collapses.
Yeah, he sure does. Like, long immediately. Couple things of note are the training sequence with Eye of the Tiger. I think it's a cover of Eye of the Tiger, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a weird choice. I mean, it probably costs less or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then...
Probably. They had some good music placements this week.
Yeah, for sure.
The prom songs are really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the prom songs. And the other thing, is just that Veronica all of a sudden has a really nice classic car. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
I mean,
they're both sitting in the back seat. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that kind of eventually dovetails with
Reggie's
prom
car. Didn't she buy it back for him?
I thought Reggie's was different. Reggie's was more a Mustang. Okay. And this feels like, I don't know cars all that well.
Yeah.
Gotta call up my car guy. But yeah, I don't know. It was just the first time we saw it, and it was in such a prominent shot for a second where they're just having a slow walk up to the car. That dovetails with prom, which we'll get into after the break. But we should also just mention that, like, things were, like, planting the seeds early on with the core four talking in the study hall, and Cheryl shows up, and she has an announcement. So let's hear that soundbite.
Sorry to interrupt your no doubt thrilling catch-up, chums, but as you know, junior prom is this weekend. The theme is fire and ice, and naturally, Tony and I are campaigning to be the most captivating prom queens the school's ever seen. So it goes without saying, vote Shoni for co-monarchs because when you really think about it, no other options make sense.
I mean, they want to be co-monarchs, which we kind of like knew was going to happen, of course.
It's cute.
Yeah, definitely. And then
I don't know if Tony really wants it, but she's along for the ride.
Yeah, she loves Cheryl, so she's just like, let's do it. I'll look great in a crown, sure.
Yeah.
Evelyn, as you mentioned, talks to them.
Maybe also Tony could get like the scrub vote. Do you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
Cheryl knows she can get like the asshole vote.
Well, Tony's at least got the pretty poisons in the bag for sure. Even though
I had forgotten existed. And then this week I'm like, oh, there they are.
Yeah. I mean, are they operating without Cheryl and Tony right now? Because Cheryl and Tony are farmies.
I don't know.
So Evelyn's like, it's against our rules of equality. You shouldn't run. Cheryl talks to Edgar about it. He's like, don't do it. Or if you do it, you can't talk to Jason
Cheryl
anymore.
Makes some good points.
I think so, too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then it just becomes, really, it's this thing that's like, okay, we're laying the groundwork for Cheryl to, like, easily ditch the farm.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that they want members in positions of power, the same way that group Ientology say.
Heard of it.
You know, you want, like, the newscaster. You want the most popular kid in school. You want the et cetera, et cetera. That's how I feel, at least.
Yeah, definitely. But that being said, Cheryl already is the class president and is who she is. So that when she's like, think of what this platform could do, it's like, you don't need that.
So why haven't they made her step down from class president? Well, whatever.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe it's just because it's a contest and like now.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive. I guess she just already was class president when she joined the farm. So they're like, sure. Anyway, we talked through a lot, but that we are at kind of the halfway point of the episode. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about prom.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, we are back. We are in the gym.
We are.
And Veronica and Archie are talking. They're at the prom as friends.
Yeah, everything, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this together.
We're even going to pay separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, of course, you know, they're going to go to the prom together, and they do. And I know that there are Varchi fans, just as there are fans for, like, every ship. But it's like, it does nothing for me. I don't know.
No, it feels inevitable, but in a way that's like, okay. Do you know what I mean? It was like when Dawson's Creek was an ongoing concern, and it felt like Dawson and Joey were supposed to get together, and it was just like, I guess that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, we're just biding time.
You're just like, great. Or like Ryan and Marissa on the OC. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's also, and I think the writers know that it's like the least fun option.
Yeah, totally. Their end game.
Yeah, but it's like, sucks. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not fun to write to, and
Yeah.
And the characters don't necessarily have chemistry.
I mean, there's definitely, and this is goes back to the comics from what I know about the comics, there is the classic like Archie versus Hiram rivalry, and that gets weird with Veronica mm-hmm. in the middle of it, but it's how, you know, how much can we go back to that well in the show?
Apparently a lot.
Apparently a lot, and we'll find out more. Let's hear their brief talk while they're dancing, Archie and Veronica's.
This year, all this time, I've been working for my father. Everything I've made, I put back into the business, back into his pockets.
Does he know that you know?
No. And I'm going to act as though nothing has changed. I'm going to do exactly what he would do in the situation, manipulate him into digging his own grave. That's our way through this mess.
Our. I like hearing you say our. It reminds me of
the old days. Will you help me, Archie? And this time we can take down my father for good.
Hell yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's essentially what we've been saying. And they just are now hellbent on taking Hiram down again.
But like, Archie and Hiram have a truce.
Yeah.
And now hears that he's wrong, Veronica. He's like, okay, I'm back on board 100%. Mm-hmm. But like, we also know from last week.
Yeah, last week.
The Sweat Lodge thing that like, mm-hmm. that like Hiram is fucking Archie, like, not sure. Literally, I wish.
Oh, my God.
But, like, is screwing over Archie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I guess it's good that Archie is at least on board, even if he doesn't know why.
Yeah.
He should be.
Someone just, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in Speculation Booth, but someone just tweeted an interesting theory about Veronica's role in all this that we'll come back to. We'll come back to that in a second. There's a tease, so stick around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously worth mentioning that, I mean, because we're at prom in the Archie Veronica storyline, if at all. But in the lead up to prom, Jug and Betty are back in the book, the gospel, trying mm-hmm. to figure out what's going on. Jughead reads part of it where it talks about a false prophet falling, and like, I assume that must mean tall boy.
Maybe.
But anyway, then a Griffin Queen needs to be a Bacchanal, and they're just like, oh, well, you're the Griffin Queen, and this is prom, and mm-hmm. it all fits together pretty well.
And they make like a pretty solid plan, mm-hmm. other than Betty ruining it.
I mean, she absolutely throws it all out the door.
Although, I never in a million years thought the Gargoyle King was in that room. Was like so simple. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Would be like, well, it said I had to be here in a crown, so here I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, he doesn't just waltz in. Someone's like, that would be funny if he walked in and like most people are like, whoa, cool medieval times costume. And like the few people that yeah. know who he is are like, oh shit, he's here.
Yeah.
Kind of a fun thing, but that would have been intense. That also reminded me, like, there's the whole thing where they're like, I pulled the soundbite just because I think it's funny, but they're like, we need to convince Cheryl to change the theme. And Cheryl's so distraught over things that she's like, okay, so let's hear that real quick, too.
Hi, Cheryl. We had an idea that we wanted to run by you. Now, we realize that our prom's theme, Fire and Ice, was decided months ago.
But frankly, people don't know what that means.
Right. So what if we specified the theme a little bit? Maybe we call it something like the Renaissance or medieval times.
Sure. Whatever.
Cheryl, did you hear anything we just said?
Yes. And for all I care, change the theme, make everyone wear chainmail and corsets, turn the photo booth into a pillory, hand out turkey legs. What does it matter if I'm not going to be queen?
But anyway, they change the theme. Hardly matters. As mm-hmm. you mentioned, they have a pretty solid plan. They get the serpents and the pretty poisons to help, like, run perimeter on the gym. Mm-hmm.
Can I say, by the way, that I think it's a great idea to have the pillory, the photo booth be a pillory and hand out turkey legs? Like, it's very funny.
I think so, too.
It's like, that would be a fun prom.
Oh,
it would be
yeah.
fucking gross, but like,
I mean, those turkey legs are always, I feel like we've talked about those on the podcast before. Those are like such a sticking point in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be fun. And they do, again, the prom looks great. The costumes are great. There's like a full feast in the middle. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job.
Everyone looks beautiful. Like Cheryl's hair looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Betty's hair, it's like they put crazy extensions in it. It looks incredible.
It looks so good.
Yeah. And the way it's like all swept uh-huh. over to one side. I love it.
Despite still wearing his hat, Jughead's outfit is great
yes.
with the cape. Kevin and Fangs look very cute, even
yeah.
though Kevin doesn't say anything the whole damn episode. but yeah, the plan goes out the door the minute Betty gets that note which, I mean, I guess I don't know what I'd do in that situation. I mean, it's horrifying, but it's like you don't really know what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. So she goes into the bathroom. It's got the chalices there. It looks a lot like it did on Midnight Club Ascension Night.
Would she know who would know about that besides the Gargoyle King? Alice.
Definitely.
But anyhow.
Really only Alice. Well, that's not entirely true, but she was like the one in the bathroom.
Cheryl's mom was there too, right? Mm-hmm. Or no, who? I feel like I remember someone in the stall or like someone was like helping Alice. Maybe it was Penelope. I don't know. Maybe it was Hermione. I don't know.
It feels like ages ago that episode happened.
Yeah. Let's just, someone tell us.
She goes out of the bathroom. Gargoyle King's there. She has the gun on her, which we figured after we saw her training with a gun earlier.
Can I say too that like when they're like, come to the location of the first Ascension Night, I'm like, which room do you mean here? And she immediately knows the bathroom. Okay. Yeah.
Right. She pretty much was intuitively like, this is where what he means. Because it could have meant, the room that they were always meeting in.
I guess that's where the principal, in theory, drank.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The blue stuff.
Right.
And I like how she's like, not happening. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. She kind of ditches that. Oh, the power goes out. And so all the intense red and blue lights are up. She sees the Gargoyle King, pulls out the gun, and gets tackled.
By the Black Hood. But, like, here's the thing. Like, the Gargoyle King has never made, like, any moves on anyone.
I know. She didn't have any reason to,
just, like, tear his blanket off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's not moving fast with those twig arms.
Yeah, he doesn't have, like, knives. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. He's, like, such an unknown quantity that it's, I have no idea what's going on there. And then this whole, like, pretty lengthy, like, intense horror movie chase sequence ensues.
Mm-hmm. Where super scary.
There are multiple dead bodies.
Mm-hmm. Just like randomly stuffed places.
Yeah.
Dying to know how this pans out next week.
Definitely.
Also, how does anyone go back to that high school?
Well, that's what I thought too, because the most we get of like day after, I mean, we get Betty and Jughead talking to FP, but then we get Mary being like, you know, that was pretty intense what happened at prom last night. I'm going to stick around. And it's like, no, this is like a lot more intense than that.
Yeah.
This is multiple murders.
Yeah.
At least that's what Betty sees. Mm-hmm. Again, bringing it back to your theory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's not seeing that either. But I don't know. She's like, Dad, why are you doing this? We don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
She hides herself in that closet that Featherhead was found, and keeps herself safe for a minute, and then he just goes away.
You knew something was in that closet, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Of course.
1,000%.
And it was a headless body of like someone in a suit, which isn't really on theme for the dance.
But no.
Pretty intense. And then really things kind of end with...
I kind of thought, sorry.
Oh, no.
When I was thinking about the closet thing... I was like, oh, someone's beating up the Black Hood. And then Jughead was going to be like, Betty, I came to save you or whatever. But instead what happened was that like there was a bunch of fucking struggle sounds inside the closet. And then Jughead was like, tap, tap, and found Betty. How would he know she was in the closet?
Well, she did scream, but...
Did she call him?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you suspicious of Jughead? Is that what you mean?
No, okay. It's just strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the whole show is strange, and why do I ever question anything they do, so...
You just go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It all happens really quickly after that, like, long chase, and he just, like, decides to give up, so...
Mm-hmm.
But right, Betty runs to the farm to tell her mom, who has no idea any of this happened, which seems crazy. Wouldn't FP call Alice? I mean, maybe he can't because she's at the farm, but...
Mm-hmm. But he did call her about something else.
That's right. Right?
She was like, FP told me.
Yeah, you're right. But he didn't bother.
Or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Edgar walks in at the right minute. Alice had just finished her puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar's like, you could stay here. We got strong walls.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I think she could also stay with Jughead and FP, but apparently FP's not great at being sheriff, so here we are.
I mean, yeah, I would think she'd feel safe with the sheriff, but yeah, he's had some troubles too.
Like, she wouldn't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd say she could stay at the Pembroke, but like, you know.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, she's going to end up in a mental institution.
Yeah, it feels like it's leading towards that. That is the episode, so let's take another break, and we'll come back as we do.
Back with our episode review. Cameron, it seems like you liked it.
I did. I had a fun time.
I always love a prom.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted it to be more prom.
Mm-hmm. But also, inherently, prom can be boring, where it's like, we're dancing. Now we're not dancing. You know what I mean?
But if the tension with, like, the killer being there, or just played up more, Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It definitely is. I think I just so often want the show to kind of break the mold where there are like 2 to 3 main plots and we have to spend equal time with all of them and they're all with the core four. Like, mm-hmm. I want there to be more of a bottle episode. I want there to be, even though, God, the triptych episode this season was pretty bad, I want there to be more like structural differences. Mm-hmm. I want there to be more focus on Kevin. I think I'm just always like asking for that. So
yeah,
for it to feel like a conventional episode, granted one that like, I don't mean conventional in a bad way. Obviously, it still builds to this like really exciting horror sequence of an ending.
For sure.
And like the prospect of Black Hood and Gargoyle King teaming up, like this is like Batman supervillain stuff going mm-hmm. on, if that's the case, which I think it's exciting. You liked it?
I do. And I like the idea of, I don't know, I feel like more was revealed in a sense that like lets us be spooked.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like also lets like some theories come out. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot to be pulled from that.
I still believe it's Chick.
Yeah. I mean, Chick, we're seeing Chick before the season.
Because also, Chick is about Evelyn's age, maybe. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some weird shit went down.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, Hal having.
Because Hal allegedly killed Chick,
yes.
But like,
right.
Maybe when they were out in the woods, they had some like talk.
Mm-hmm. And Hal, in theory, probably knows about the Midnight Club and stuff, because even though he wasn't part of it, he was adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could have been like, I don't know, maybe they had a plan to begin with, but it feels like he kind of maybe was able to talk Chick into like, look, this woman isn't your mom. And she kind of like threw you to the side and Betty was bad to you too. We're going to like, you're going to take up mm-hmm. the mantle of the Gargoyle King.
He also, when Chick was in the house, he was like, this kid's bad news.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
maybe
he recognized him saying this kid's bad news didn't come from a place of like, I'm a solid American dad, but like an additionally a place of like, oh, I'm bad news. I recognize bad news.
This is like, if Betty's not going to turn to Dark Betty, then maybe this is who I can have to carry on my legacy. Interesting. We're definitely speculating.
Yes. Let's pop a swat.
We should officially. Absolutely. Now we're
at the speculation.
This is official speculation now. I have these questions here, and this is all like thrown into. So it's like, are the Black Hood and Gargoyle King working together? And if so, why? And how would known who the Gargoyle King is? But I feel like
we kind of talked about
some of these theories have answered it.
I do like this next question, which is, was Hal actually trying to kill Betty?
Yeah.
Assuming that was Hal,
mm-hmm.
which assumptions.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It sure seemed like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. He's going.
Although, how do I put this? There were points where he could have like jabbed her hands and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't.
Yep.
So that definitely. To me also makes me feel like it's not really him.
It seemed or like there were.
It's her.
There were times though where he's like swinging at her face with the hook.
Yeah.
Which, if he would have made contact, would have been pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he did chase her down. But if she's hallucinating, it would make sense that there's not a scratch on her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is she seeing the dead bodies? We know that the drugs can inspire people to see dead bodies.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Hal really did die.
I mean, he could have really died, or he could have not died, and that could not be him. That could be it. I mean, there's so many options.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of based on, like, okay, if you believe my crazy theory that mm-hmm. Betty is hallucinating all of this,
mm-hmm. which
like,
I love.
Maybe Hal is dead, and she's like, that's what took for her to, like, spiral out.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
If you believe that's too far, which is, it's a lot to like really fucking burn Betty to the ground. Maybe Hal isn't dead and that is him and he's working, you know what I mean? So it's kind of based on what school of thought you're in.
Yep. But I don't know. I'm pretty convinced. I mean, the fact that her being freaked out by the Black Hood's return leads her right into Edgar's arms and back to the farm feels like too perfect.
And it also feels like getting her in that room for the ascension, mm-hmm. like be like, come to this room, is a room that they can probably control and they could like pump that gas in that room.
Yeah,
if it's a gas,
that's true.
And just like,
really amp up the fear factor.
Yeah.
Yep. I like that a lot. I mean, my next question then was, how did Hal orchestrate his escape? Who helped him do it? This, of course, is only if we assume that he isn't dead. But it's like, I mean, we talked about last week, it obviously could be Penelope because Penelope has a vested interest in getting Hal out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Hiram if you want to believe that Hiram's been behind this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone had mentioned that, well, it's just like, obviously him, he was fine with Hal getting transferred. No questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had also mentioned that in season 2, there was a scene or two between Hal and Hiram and they seemed kind of chummy, which I don't know.
I think this relates to some of these fan theories, if you want to jump into those.
We definitely can.
I'm a big fan of this one by someone named Andrea Swain. She's your mom.
Sure is.
It says, I think we all agree that Hal is not dead. Penelope is helping him hide out somewhere. Hal is the Gargoyle King. This is the part I like. Chick was the Gargoyle King while Hal was in prison, but now Hal can take over again. Please bring back Chick. I miss his creepiness.
Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like that part where it's like, oh, they're working together. And he's like, you're in prison. I can take over.
I mean, it's a
great
And
that's
point.
How they can be in the same place at the same time now. Mm-hmm. That's another good theory.
It makes a lot of sense. And it all ties back to the last time we saw Chick. We know we didn't see him die, but it was Hal and Chick together. So mm-hmm. anything could have happened there between them.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Do you want to read one of these other ones?
Yeah. The one prior is also kind of along these lines from @FranTopaz. All right, so Hal definitely
Fran
didn't.
Topaz, I yeah, like it.
Tony's mm-hmm. relative. So Hal definitely didn't die. On prom night, Jughead is trying to lure the Gargoyle King to the school. Check, they got that right. Mm-hmm. Hence why they changed the theme to some medieval G&G shit. Hiram helped Hal escape, but hired him to dress up as the Gargoyle King. Betty shoots the Gargoyle King, Hal killing him. Interesting thought.
And they figured it out from the trailer. They mm-hmm. figured some stuff out from the trailer. Unfortunately, not the shooting part.
Right. But that'd be pretty interesting, too. I mean, this kind of ties back into, like, what is Hiram's role in this? I think a lot of people, like us, were like, okay, Hal's mm-hmm. not dead. The other one on here, which I thought was fairly interesting from the _Lexhibition, is that Edgar is the son/grandson of the traveling preacher con man mentioned in the Riverdale Reaper story. And the Gargoyle King, the farm, is his retribution. I mean, I was trying to, like, revisit the Reaper stuff. We know that the Reaper is Grandpa Cooper, mm-hmm. who, like, murdered that family, and then they blamed it on somebody else.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant boxing sensation Archie Andrews, the Riverdale Reaper.
Oh, yeah, that is Archie now. Yeah. I forgot he took that mantle.
JK.
I mean, I think it's pretty interesting, and again, because we've seen that weird-looking tree plays a part in the final mm-hmm. episode of the season, like, I think we do come back to that some way, somehow.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's like whether
it's
or not...
It's one of those things where it's like you don't drop that information, then do nothing with it.
Totally.
That being said, the show has dropped a lot of information, then done nothing with it.
Also that.
So...
The one other one I wanted to read that I only just saw, so I didn't put in our outline doc, is from @OfficialKatieJoe. They said, what if Veronica is working with her dad? We saw her give him a look as he agreed to letting Hal switch prisons. Hiram also mentioned that Archie won't stay out of the ring as long as Veronica is on his side. And sure enough, she makes sure he boxes again. Can we trust her? I love that theory. I just don't think...
What does she get out of it?
Right, totally. Unless she feels really burned by Archie.
It does make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she would feel burned by Archie.
I don't know. But, I mean, I just think it's like... The big thing for me, the sticking point for me working against this theory is I really have trouble seeing the show putting Veronica in that light. Mm-hmm. Like, fully making her villainous, I guess. Like, working against Archie like that yeah. seems like the show wouldn't do that. And sure, they've had the core four butt heads with each other before, but this feels like another...
It feels like she's evil now.
Yeah, because she knowingly is, like, manipulating him, mm-hmm. which is a weird move.
Unless there's, like, she has, like, another plan on the back mm-hmm. end of that. Like, oh, I had to manipulate you so that I could get back at my dad. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, there's some weird...
But, I mean, I mostly obviously want to say it because it's interesting, but I always love a theory that has me question something that I just, like, take at face value on the show. It's like, yeah, Veronica and Archie are going to get back together, sure, but it's like, oh, I mean, maybe not. It's, mm-hmm. like, good to kind of be reminded.
That would be some next level shit. That would be, like, some...
Definitely would be.
I don't know how to put this. Some stuff that you're like, oh, shit, guys, you need to be... Because there's a lot of people I know that have, like, fallen off watching the show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would be like, yo, this show is getting crazy. Mm-hmm. You need to get back on it. Like, no, it's legit still really good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's the part...
I still enjoy it and I still think it's really good.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a blast.
But...
Well, I mean, also, like, we've obviously talked a lot about, like, is Betty hallucinating? But if she actually is, like, unbeknownst to her, the Black Hood, or, like, maybe mm-hmm. she did actually kill those people, like, that is another
twist.
That's,
like, some burning the shit. Like, shows never burn themselves to the ground.
Well, unless
you
have a known end date yeah. or something.
Yeah. So it would be crazy if this, like, ostensible YA show did.
Yeah.
Because people, I think fans would freak the fuck out.
Oh, right. That's kind of what I was saying about the Veronica thing. Yeah. The same goes for Betty. It's like if either of them was actually like, I mean, if Betty really didn't know what was happening, there's like excuses for it then. But yeah. That'd be wild. Final part of the speculation booth, of course, is the name game where we look at the title of next week's ep and try and figure out what the hell's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It is called The Dark Secret of Harvest House, which is taking its name from the 1978 TV miniseries The Dark Secret of Harvest Home, starring Bette Davis. I had heard of it before, never watched it, so I spoiled myself on the...
It's sometimes hard to watch, like, old miniseries.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
I found a trailer, and then I read, like, the synopsis on Wikipedia or something.
As you do.
Yes, as you do. It's pretty, it sounds fun, and maybe it's just because we've been so saturated with, like, this sort of, like, weird, say, pagan, I don't know, like, weird, mm-hmm. idyllic cult town. The story didn't surprise me in any way. It's like, oh, of course. Mm-hmm. There's, like, people keeping secrets, worshiping this weird god, people getting sacrificed, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, obviously, this just turns into, or this just leads into that, in that it's, like, Bette is now living within the walls of the farm, and so she's gonna learn some secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way to really read that.
Yeah. And apparently they're all very open about all their secrets.
Yeah, there, they so. Are. So maybe she'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about the Harvest Home miniseries is that, like, this whole, like, cult town's, like, everything they do is built around corn. So I'm just like, well, let's see if corn plays a role next week.
I doubt it.
And the other thing I wanted to call out is that there are some promo shots from the episode that have been going around, and some of them show Archie boxing Hiram.
Ugh, I'm so fucking tired. We've talked about this. Boxing sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, in this app, when they didn't show the first boxing match, I'm like, hooray.
I know. We actually didn't get a single boxing match.
I know. I was like, oh, finally, the restraint.
Yeah. I mean, the Archie Hiram boxing match is interesting just because it is, like, actually he's facing a character that we know. And
everyone likes to see Mark Consuelos without a shirt.
Of course. So it just kind of ties into, I mean, it's like Betty's going to concoct some weird scheme that barely makes sense where Archie has to, like, box his dad over the rights back to Pops.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say Betty?
Yeah.
I do that sometimes. I get excited. So pretty interesting. But I think that is also the penultimate episode of the season.
Wow.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we have some wild cliffhanger there.
Are we going straight through to the end of the season, or is there, like, some weeks off? Oh, wow.
Yep.
Seems crazy that it's May about to be.
Yeah. By the time people are listening to this, it's going to be May.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be May.
Let's take a final break and we'll come back with the blue and gold.
Right, we are back with the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, and that's where we talk about basically, like, all our favorite, like, Riverdale kind of fan stuff, fun stuff, non-specifically show-related stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not filming anymore, so it feels like things are a little quieter, but people are busy. The one thing that I had included to call out was that Zoe DeGran Mason, who plays Evelyn, who we love dearly, had an Instagram post. It's like a screenshot from the episode where Evelyn's at prom in her prom outfit, and her caption is, "Evelyn looking bored at prom because she's done this like 10 times already," which is great.
That is cute.
It's very true. Evelyn's a prom fiend.
I see that you liked it.
I sure did. And the other thing worth mentioning is that the last summer, KJ Apa's movie, I think, is out on Netflix at the end of this week. And so I know that they had, like, a premiere last night. People are seeing it. We'll see if, I mean, I'm going to watch it, and we'll see if I was wrong and to assume that it was bland.
Yeah.
I feel like I was really harsh on it the other week, and I shouldn't have been, because it's like, maybe it's not for me, as we decided, but I will be checking it out.
Yeah. I am into, Lily Reinhart has been shooting Hustlers.
Oh, yeah.
Which also, it's supposed to come out in like 3 months, and I'm like, what's going on with this?
I know. I thought that too. It's dates in September, I think, which is really, really
strange. It's really strange. But I've been enjoying it. She's been posting videos of, like, her, like, learning pole dancing.
Yeah.
And it's been, I don't know, nice to think of these guys having a summer vacation from
Vancouver.
Like, being fucking Riverdale people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had talked about going to that one festival and seeing her and Elle talk about doing this movie.
Yeah.
And Lily was talking about the differences between the movie and a TV show. And it's just so weird to think of, I mean, a movie is its own thing, but a TV show is like essentially a 9-to-5. Like, you're
more
going
than that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely more than that.
It's like a 9-to-9, yeah.
So I'm sure she's excited. And we already talked about the cast a little bit. They, like, recently added Lizzo to the cast too, which is a genius move.
Just better and better,
like,
yeah.
It's so stacked. And I hope that this can be, like, the fun. I mean, Ocean's 8 was fun. I liked Ocean's 8. But I think that this could be, like, a step up from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's our blue and gold, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the week. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think we've got two episodes left.
Some shit's gotta happen.
I mean, yeah.
Which is great. Do you know what I mean? Definitely. Like, good for us and good for viewers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think.
To be like, great, we're getting into some shit. Like,
right. I would think that the farm and the Guardian. I keep saying
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gargoyles, Griffins, and Gargoyles. I gotta imagine both of those get tied up to some extent before the end mm-hmm. of the season. So,
did you see the Avengers yet?
I haven't. Endgame. Just like Varchi.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Good callback.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, speaking of Endgame.
Yes,
this is the end game. Of our game. A game of podcasts. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Rill Causey. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, you can tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get podcasts. You can follow us, the show, at Dial M for Maple.
Please.
At Mara E, M-A-R-A-H-E, and at Cameron Sheets, S-C-H-E-E-T-Z.
That's me.
Not like the gas station.
Regional, but some people probably know it.
It's important. We will see you guys next week when we shack up with the farmies at Harvest House.
Ooh. All right. Bye-bye, Bulldogs.